This chazar zeichen neshe bechi has geshagam v'em Yehuda mesechti Yivam mesdaf pezayin. Zok the mission of Yisrael is marries a kohen she may eat truma. If he dies and she's left with a child from him, she can continue eating truma. If she then marries a levi, she may eat ma'aser but may no longer eat truma. If he then dies and she's left with a child from him, she continues eating ma'aser. If she then marries Yisrael, she can no longer eat truma or ma'aser. If he dies and she's left with a child from him, she still can't eat truma or ma'aser. If the child of the Yisrael dies, she can start eating ma'aser on account of the child from the levi. If a child from the levi then dies, she may again eat truma. If the child of the kohen dies, she may no longer eat truma or ma'aser. If kohenis marries Yisrael, she may no longer eat truma. If he dies and she's left with a child from him, she still can't eat truma. If she then marries a levi, she can eat ma'aser. If he dies and she's left with a child from him, she can continue to eat ma'aser. If she then marries a kohen, she may once again eat truma. If he dies and she's left with a child from him, she can continue eating truma. If a child from the kohen dies, she can no longer eat truma. She can eat ma'aser. If a child from the levi dies, she can no longer eat truma or ma'aser. If a child from the Yisrael then dies, she can go back to her father's house and eat truma there. This last case is what's referred to by the pasuk when it says v'shavel be'savia kunurea milechem avia toichel. For the acting of the Mishnah in the first case said that when the child from the levi dies, she may then eat truma on account of her child from the kohen. How do we know this to be the case? Rabbi Abba, in the name of Rav, said it's a conjunctive vav in the word of ubas that teaches this is so. The chayyus is only followed Rabbi Akiva who dashes extra vavs. More said it could even be the rabbanon because the entire word ubas is extra and therefore available for a drasha. A bride says when a kohenes returns to her father's house after having terminated a marriage with no children, she can eat truma but may not eat chaz of a shayk. Chris in the name of Rabbi Ravina Bar Shila said we learn this from the pasuk of he betrumas hakadosh from leisaychel. Once a kohenes gets married, she may no longer eat from what is separated from kodesh, meaning chaz of a shayk. Rav Nachman in the name of Rabbi Barvua said we learn from the pasuk that allows the girl to eat milechem avia from the bread, not all of it. Milechem becomes to exclude chaz of a shayk. Rav Chama asked, maybe we should say this only excludes the father from the ability to annul her nedarim. Rav said we already know this halacha from a brayso taught by Tana the Rebbe Shmuel, so must come to teach that she can't eat chaz of a shayk. Rav Safra said we learn from the pasuk that allows her to eat milechem. This teaches that she can only eat bread, but not meat, not chaz of a shayk. Her papa said it's from the pasuk of milechem avia, which teaches that she may only eat things owned by her father. Chaz of a shayk are considered to be owned by Hashem and given to the kohen to eat. Rav said we learn from the pasuk of chaz of a shayk that is allowed to be eaten by the daughters itoch only when they're with you in the house before they get married. Rav Barahava said a brisa says although a kohen is returning to her father's house only returns to eat truma, not chaz of a shayk. Israelis who was married to a kohen and the marriage has since terminated, but she has a child from this marriage, she even continues to eat chaz of a shayk. Yes, we only learned that Israelis with a child from a kohen may eat truma from the case of a kohenes. If so, how can she be better than a kohenes and even be allowed to eat chaz v'shoyk? As she said, regarding a kohenes, we have learned that there are specific exclusions that prevent her from eating chaz v'shoyk. Regarding the Israelis, there are no such exclusions, and she can therefore even continue to eat chaz v'shoyk. Mishnah says, "Bas kohen shenis Yisrael v'chulu." Brisa says, "The pasuk says v'shavah be'savia teaches the kohenes who is a shemeres yovim to Yisrael may not go back to eat truma. Kinureha teaches that she's pregnant, she may not return to her father's house to eat truma." The brisa asks, "We seem to have a kavachomer if regarding yibum, where a woman who has a child from a previous marriage does not become potter from yibum of a later marriage based on the child of her previous marriage, and still a pregnant woman is given the status of someone who has a child. Then in the case of truma, where a child of a previous marriage does prevent the kohenes from returning to his father's house, even if she was widowed of a second marriage without children, since she has children from the previous marriage, then it should be obvious that a pregnant woman will be given the status of a woman with a child." The Brisa says the cases are different because by yibum, even if a child later dies, she remains potter from yibum. For truma, if the child dies, she may then return to her father's house. That's why we need the pasuk and can't learn it from the Kal V'Chomer. The Torah has to tell us that a kohenes with children from a non-kohen may not eat truma, and that a kohenes pregnant from a non-kohen may not eat truma. Because if we were only taught the halacha of when she has children, we would say that she has become two beings and that she used to be one person, now she has become two people, and therefore she may not eat truma. But when she's pregnant, she's still that one being, and therefore maybe she could still eat truma. If we would only say that she can't eat when she's pregnant, we would say it's because her body is now full and not empty like it was when she left her father's house. However, maybe when she has children but it's not pregnant, since her body is still empty like she was when she left her father's house, she can return to eat truma. That's what the Torah has to teach regarding both cases. Rav Yehuda from Askarta said to Rav, we would say that if the child who made a woman potter from Yibum later dies, she would then become chayiv in Yibum. This can be learned based on a Kal V'Chomer from Truma, where a child of an earlier marriage prevents her from going back and eating Truma, and still, if the child were to die, she would be allowed to eat Truma. So then surely, by Yibum, where a child of a previous marriage does not make her potter from Yibum, if the child dies, she should now be chayiv in Yibum. However, the Torah teaches us in the Pasuk of Derechel Darchinoyam that we would not make a woman who has already been married to another man to now become subject to Yibum Chalitim because it would disgust her in the eyes of her current husband. Why don't we use the Kavacham and say that if a child keeps his mother potter from Yibum, if the child dies, the child continues to keep his mother, the Kehenes, also from Truma even after the child dies. But the Pasuk says that the Kehenes can eat Truma if Vizera ain't love, she doesn't have any children. After the child's death, she never no longer has children, and therefore she could eat Truma. Why don't we use the Kavacham to say that if a child from a previous marriage can determine whether she eats Truma, a child from a previous marriage should also potter a woman from Yibum in a later marriage? Or the Pasuk says that Yibum is affected when the man man has no children. This second husband, Nebuch, didn't have any children. We should use this Kal V'chomer to say that if the child of the earlier marriage does not prevent her from being subject to Yibam, even though by Yibam a child's later death does not bring on a Yibam obligation, then surely by Truma, where a child's later death would allow her to go back to any Truma, we should certainly say that the child of an earlier marriage should not prevent her from eating Truma when she has no children from a later marriage. Marissa, the Pasuk says she may only go back and eat Truma when she has no children, Ein La, and now she does have children, therefore she can't go back to eat from her father's house. Hadlach Perek Yesh Mutarais. Perek Isha Rabba Perek Asiri. Zokta the Gemishna B'siyata Dishmai. If a man traveled overseas and they, the Gemara explained this means a single witness, if they came and told his wife that he died, that the husband died overseas, and based on that she went and married another man, and the first husband then arrives back alive, the halacha is she has to leave both husbands, she needs a get from both men, she does not get ksuba or produce or support or worn out garments from either of the men. If she took any of these from either of them, she has to now return it. If the child of either of them is a mamzer, if the men are kahanim, neither of them may become tamiter if she dies. Neither of the men are entitled to her metziyos or her earnings, and neither of them can annul her vows. If the woman is Israeli, she becomes possible to a kohen. If she's a Leviah, she becomes possible to eat ma'aser. If she's a kohenah, she becomes possible to eat truma. The heirs of both of these men have no rights to her ksuba. If the men die childless, their brothers may only do chalitza, not yibum. Rabbi Yossi says she does collect the ksuba from her first husband. Rabbi says the first husband is entitled to her fines, her earnings, and to annul her vows. Rabbi Shimon says the bi or chalitza of a brother of the first husband makes a tzaras pater, and a child from the first husband would not be a mamzer. If she married based on two witnesses, she would be allowed to return to the first husband. If she remarried based on bezin, meaning on a single witness, she has to get divorced from both men, she's potter from bringing a carbon. If it was based on two witnesses, she must leave both the second husband, but she has to bring a carbon. Bezin is stronger, and that exempts her from bringing a carbon. If Bezin said she may remarry, and she then went and was mezana with a man, and her husband returned alive, then she would be chayav a carbon. She would be, because Bezin only allowed her to marry, not to go ahead and be mezana. Zaknamar, from the fact that the second part of the mission discusses where she got married without the permission of Bezin, but rather based on two witnesses, it must be that the beginning of the mission is discussing where there was only one witness. We see that a single witness is believed to allow her to remarry. We see this concept from two other mishnayos, so one dealing with allowing a woman to remarry, and one dealing with the witness being believed to require someone to bring a chatas for eating chalev as well. Where do we find in the Torah that a single witness is believed for Yisurim? So Abai says, the Pasuk says, if his sin becomes known to him, it suggests that he's only chayav achatas if he's aware of his avera on his own, and not that others made him aware. However, the words of oyhoida elov also teach that even if it's made known to him by others, he will be chayav if he does not dispute what they say. Now, it would be obvious that he has to bring achatas if two witnesses were undisputed. The pasuk must be referring to where there's only one witness, and we see that if he's undisputed, he's believed. Maybe one witness is not believed, and the only reason he's believed here is because the person remained quiet, and in that way is considered to have corroborated the testimony. This idea can be proven from a mishnah as well. If so, how do we know? Back to the question, how do we know that a single witness is believed? And the Gemara will continue with this on the next daf.